Community Conversations with Community Centres SA. Here's Kerry Ackermans.
Death, not a subject any of us want to talk about, but sure to come to all of us. We're talking today on the podcast to India Wallace, Spiritual Executive Officer of the Pure Land Home Hospice. They're running a death festival on the 12th of October in conjunction with Centennial Park. It's a subject that we all need to talk about, and today you may be surprised about what you hear. Welcome, India. I'm really interested to have our conversation today about the Pure Land Death Festival.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you for inviting me. It's lovely to be here.
It's one of those topics, death, that is going to come to us all. And it really has been a taboo subject for a long time. And you've started this work quite a while ago. And now you're working in the Centennial Park to bring this amazing event to the community to perhaps dispel some of those myths about what happens with death and how to prepare for it and what we can do. So some of the sorts of things I'd like to talk about firstly is just your background. And you're also involved with the partner as well in this, Jan.
Yes, that's correct. Jan McGregor is the partner in Pure Land Home Hospice, which we began quite a few years ago now. Probably the last 2 years it's really taken hold, and we basically went to 10 people and asked them to give us $10,000 each, and they did, and that's how we got started. I can be very persuasive, Kerry, which you need to be.
I know that you can, India, and when you're talking about such an important topic, can I ask, why do you think they gave that money? What did they see in it?
I just think they saw the need in the community, and that they'd probably had their own experiences and been through their own deaths with family and friends and seen perhaps that it didn't go so well, or there could have been more done. I think most people can relate to this. I think most people have had a parent or some part of their family that has died and they wish they could have done more.
Ah, there is the word wish, that looking back. And I think that's also a part of it. How do you deal with the regret of that? So the idea is to be proactive. When they do ask people, I'm sure with Centennial Park, they do many times saying, we need to think about our funeral, but no one wants to do that.
That's correct. And that's why we have invented the Death Festival here as well, so that there is a forum for people to be able to come and speak about their grief or plan for their own funerals or just to kind of do it better, I guess.
And India, what do you think it is that makes people so afraid of death? Because it is going to happen to all of us. Doesn't matter who we are, it will come.
I think it's just a fear of the unknown, but I think a lot of people are afraid of the pain. I think that's a big part of it. I work in this area as well, and when I ask people what they're most afraid of, that comes up a lot, Kerry. So there's a lot we can do for that, and I think people can find some understanding at the Death Festival. One of the talks we have is with Dr. Matt Hooper from ICU in Calvary, and he'll be talking about death in the ICU and how they compassionately care for people. And I think it's really important to have those discussions so that, you know, knowledge is power. The more we know, the more we can prepare and the less frightened we'll be.
Oh, it's interesting. My mother passed in emergency, so I know exactly what that's like. They told me when I arrived that she would pass and I was just shocked. I just thought she'd had a heart attack and she'd be fine.
Yes.
But that wasn't the case.
Yes. How did you find that experience in emergency?
Horrific. It took me many years. And you're never over it.
Yeah.
It's just how you learn to live with it.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that exploration of compassionate life and death and celebrating the journey. What does that actually mean?
Well, I'm a Buddhist, okay? So we are always talking about death. And the reason that we talk about death, do meditations on death and really focus on that is one, to have what we, I guess, could say is a good death. And a lot of people are saying that they want to have more of a Buddhist type death. And I think what they're saying there is that they want to find peace. And that's part of it. But the other thing is that the more we focus on death, the more we appreciate our life.
That is very true. From our discussions, you don't have to be a Buddhist to be involved, though.
Absolutely not, no. And the Death Festival is not really about Buddhism at all, although we do have some meditations that we do as Buddhists. One of them is on impermanence, one's on compassion, and the other one is on death, actually. But, yeah, mostly it's nothing to do with Buddhism.
And just on meditation, any skills that you can get in that is so valuable, because I'm still one of the, if you remember Julia Roberts and Eat, Pray, Love, and I won't use the word she did, but after 2 minutes she was looking at the clock and thinking, how much longer does this go for? Monkey mind, just not shutting that off.
Yeah, it's crazy. I started meditating about 20 years ago when I found myself with breast cancer, and I had a very aggressive breast cancer and it had gone to lymph nodes and wasn't looking great. And here I am 20 years later, which is wonderful.
That's remarkable, yes.
But that's when I became a Buddhist, and I didn't intend to become a Buddhist. I went to Buddha House to do some meditation, and honestly, meditation just completely changed my life in that way. I had that monkey mind. I was working in advertising in a very fast-paced job. I was a single parent. It was all happening. I had breast cancer, and yeah, I just completely turned my life around from that, and meditation was a huge part of that, Kerry.
That's a very inspirational story. Now, this death festival, it's not a somber or morbid affair. It's not meant to be sad, is it?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, we have a children's area as well, which is going to be fabulous. So for the real little ones, I have my sister-in-law actually coming in, and she was a kindergarten teacher, and her friend, so they're teachers that are running this. And, you know, they're just going to do some very gentle things, read a really beautiful book with the children, and it's all based around hearts, actually. They're even wearing heart blazers, and, yeah, it's quite gorgeous. So we're sort of introducing children in a really gentle way. We've also got a teen section, which will be fabulous as well. And that's just purely a craft and art section. So there'll be no forcing to get kids to think about it or talk about it even, but it will be interesting to see just what comes up with that.
And is there any information on how to talk to a child about death? Because they've been carried away, their whatever your religious belief is, it's a hard one, isn't it?
It is a really difficult one.
For them to grasp that person is not coming back.
Yes, it is. And I guess it does come from the parents. Really, you know, depending, as you say, on their religious beliefs and what they want their children to think. It is a very delicate subject, and I think it's something that perhaps can never be forced. You know, if a child comes with a question, that's very different, isn't it?
And India, you don't do the clinical side, Jan does, but have you spent time with people to their last moment?
Yeah, definitely I have. In my business, I have a small business called Faith, Hope and Healing. I'm a counsellor, so I've been doing that for many years now. Yes, I have been with people close to death, and I can't even describe really the experience of that. People are very authentic. That's the only thing I can say, really. They become very authentic, and it is an amazing space to be in and a very privileged space to be in.
It was interesting. There was a nurse, name is Broman, can't think of her last name, who wrote The Top Regrets of the Dying, and she spent a lot of time in palliative care, and it was really interesting what people shared, that their top regrets before they died, they wish, and none of it was that they wish they'd spent more time at work.
No.
It was always more time with family. It was perhaps following their passion.
Yeah.
But it was never about, I wish I made more money, because all the money in the world wasn't going to help them. And I always have that saying of, I'm yet to see a removalist band following the hearse. So yeah,
that's so true, Kim.
Can't take it with you.
Yeah, that's exactly
right.
So
it's about experience and feeling. And is that what the Death Festival is also trying to achieve, is to provide a space where people can engage in something that is esoteric? It's not tangible. You can't touch it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I guess, you know, it's giving meaningful conversations to people, allowing them to have those meaningful conversations. And really, probably, I guess it makes people think about their own purpose in life as well, and what they're doing and where they're at and what they are focusing on. As you said, you know, people are not dying and going, I wish I'd spent more time at work. So, you know, what is it that we want to do now? What is part of our life that we can really excel in? And that can be something very small, or it can be something very big. It doesn't really matter. It's a very personal thing.
And it's interesting too, whenever people have their eulogies read out and people collect all the information about the person, again, I get back to it. Doesn't matter what people collected in life. People don't talk about what they have. They talk about what they've done in life and how they've made people feel.
Yes, they absolutely do. That's so true. And I think that working in this space, that's what we're doing with Pure Land Hospice. So even though we do have a clinical side, we have generalist nursing. Really, the most important part of the hospice is the companionship. And we have a lot of companions that we've trained. We have a special course that they do. They're very well trained. But it's just allowing people to have that person come and visit them, usually on a weekly basis, and perhaps talk about those things that maybe they don't want to talk about with their family and friends, those really deep fears or worries, perhaps even talking about repairing a relationship, or, you know, and just giving people that listening ear.
Interesting that you've just said that, India, because I was just going to ask you about, do people talk about regrets, but also what can they do to make up for what hasn't been done?
Absolutely they do. I remember being at Door Park with one of my people through my business once, and her sister was there, and they'd had a bit of an argument, and that was amazing. And I said to her, go in and talk to your sister. She'll be very open to this. And we did a little role play actually in the back room, which worked really well. And she went in and they had this fantastic conversation. And it was so wonderful to see that had happened happened before the person died. You know, it really helped both of them move through.
So it created a peaceful space for both. I'm talking to India Wallace, Spiritual Executive Officer of Pure Land Home Hospice, about the hospice as well as the Pure Land Death Festival that's being held on October 12th, 2024, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Centennial Park. India, let's explore a little bit more about what's happening at the Death Festival. I'm interested because you've got some keynote speakers with a lot of creds behind them, but I'd like to find out more. One of the ones that's already sold out, you do need to book. India will give you some more details later in the podcast. Death, denial and anxiety. Why do you think that's sold out?
I think that's probably the number one topic and what people are really feeling. You know, they're feeling very anxious, perhaps about their death or death of a loved one. The anxiety comes up. I'm not surprised that that one has sold out first, actually.
And that's being facilitated by Catherine?
Yes, Catherine Oy, yes, who's part of the Adelaide Uni, actually. Yeah, she's amazing.
Because when people impress them about something about death, they won't want to talk about it because it does make them anxious. So it's dealing with that anxiety. Is that where the meditation helps as well?
Yeah, it definitely does. The meditation does help. But I also think that talking about death does stop the anxiety. I think it's things that we don't talk about that make us anxious. It's like anything, isn't it, in life? Anything that we're trying to avoid or not speak about, they're generally the things that we're having nightmares about or that are going around in our subconscious. So I think talking about it actually helps with the anxiety.
Well, there's those sayings, better out than in, and to share is to care. If we
That's
have
right.
someone who's doing that with us, it does help.
Absolutely.
Got lots of these little isms.
Yes.
Comes from being a baby boomer. So, India, also, you've got a lot of practical as well. So, legal, advanced care directors, wills, what do you do? So many people don't think about that,
yes.
do they? About what's going to happen when they're not here? Will your wishes be adhered to? Does someone know what to do? Do you want to be revived?
All of that, yes. And also for your loved ones. I see so many people, their parents have died and they suddenly have all this legal stuff that they hadn't imagined they would have to deal with, and it can be a complete nightmare. So not only are they dealing with their own grief, they've also got this secondary grief of all of this paperwork that they have to get through and do. So that's a really great one actually to come to, because there's a lot of education in that.
Well, I wonder now what happens with everything being passworded and two-factor authentication.
Yeah.
How do you even get into people's bank accounts? How do you access their information, even to stop their emails or their social media pages? I remember the days of when my father passed. He passed suddenly as well. I phoned up to try and stop the telephone accounts because their telephone account was his name. And they said, well, we would need to speak to Mr. Giles. And I said, well, good luck. And when you do, let me know, because I've got a conversation I haven't quite finished yet. What a ridiculous thing to say.
Yeah, crazy. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot. And I'm sure that these speakers will cover that. And there'll be plenty of time for questions. All of the speakers, I've spoken to them, and they really want it to be very interactional. They want people to ask questions and not to be standing out there just talking. All of the sessions will be interactive.
Be around. And you're also dealing with this emergency death that I've experienced, you said, in the ICU.
Yeah.
But palliative care, where you have time, talk me through what people think palliative care is and what it is.
I think they think that it's just a few days before someone dies. And quite often in our society, that is what happens. People don't have palliative care and they'll end up perhaps in a hospice 2 days before they die or a hospital. Personally, I don't want that to happen if that's me. I think that if we can get people from when they're diagnosed with a life-limiting illness and work with them, and that might be for many years, I think that's the way to go. Palliative care needs to be a lot longer. It needs to be looked at as something that is a longer period of time so that people can work through that and work through their emotions.
And, you know, it's one of those things that when people go to traditional hospice, it's always, well, they're in the hospice now.
I know.
You better get in there quick if
yes,
you want to see them.
That's right. That's right. So, you know, some planning around death can be really helpful in that way. So many times, you know, you see people, oh, you haven't had enough time and we didn't get a chance to talk about that, or it would have been nice if... Yeah, there's no reason if someone has a long illness that those things can't be done.
And be done in a way that's manageable with their illness rather
exactly.
than the person is truly really unwell at the end, as they would be. They're really not going to want to be thinking about this.
No, and they're not going to want 500 people in the room with them either.
Very true.
Yeah.
So the other thing you're going to do is have a panel of experts talking about death and dying, but too afraid to ask. Who's on that
yes.
panel?
We have a Buddhist nun. Her name is Tenzin Chodron. She's amazing. She does a lot of our training for us. She's also has a master's in social work, and she worked in palliative care for 40 years. So she's very, very experienced and one of the nicest people you could ever meet, I have to say. She's so compassionate.
She's very calming as well.
She is really calming. She's very amazing. We also have Dr. Matt Hooper. from Calvary, and Catherine Oy will be facilitating that. And we also have a funeral director.
Because they would see many things.
Yeah, definitely.
It's often when people come down to those raw emotions, people behave very differently, regardless of their status in life or what they've done in their life.
Yeah, and I think people do have a lot of questions. And really, who do you ask? It's not often that you get an opportunity to have three people that have worked in these areas and are very open to having any question asked to them.
Do you think one of the questions might also be, how do you help people who are left behind in doing the grieving? What do you say to someone who's lost someone? Because people are so awkward about it. They literally think they shouldn't mention it.
Oh, definitely.
And I remember my daughter saying to me, do you know, Mum, people die twice. I said, what do you mean they die twice?
Mm.
So they die firstly when they die, and then they die the last time their name is ever said on earth.
Yeah,
that's
really beautiful. Yeah, and it's true. You know, as long as we have people in our memories, they're still really alive with us. I totally agree with your daughter.
Yes, so it's good to still keep talking about them. And there are some things that are fun too. You have having some singers. Now, what are they going to be singing?
Yeah, so it's the Adelaide Threshold Singers, and they actually go to people's bedsides and sing. So they're going to be singing for us in the lunch break. So between 12 and 1, we're having a beautiful picnic. Centennial Park is more than just a cemetery. It is the most beautiful garden. I don't know how many of them have been there, but it is a really stunning garden and beautiful old trees. And we're setting up a picnic area and you can also order picnic boxes, which look fantastic. So we're having this sort of picnicked hour and getting community together so that they can talk about death with each other as well and perhaps discuss some of the sessions that they've been into.
And then you've got a market stall as well, haven't you?
And there's a market stall, so that's very educational. There'll be lots of educational information available on that as well, and the singers will be walking around singing for us.
That's an interesting question for people. What song would you like sung at your bedside?
Yeah.
Do you have a song with you?
I really haven't given that any thought, to be honest. Do you have one?
Oh, I've got a couple of songs. Here I Am, Lord, which is a hymn that my mother always had that I just think is just amazing.
Yes, yeah,
that
always beautiful.
And You Raise Me Up, and I know that sounds crazy for what it is, but it's thinking about all the people in your life.
Yeah, it'd be interesting. I haven't really asked the girls that question. It'd be an interesting question to ask them what people are having sung.
So when you talk about Centennial Park, how many people must have gone through there, all of those families, all of that death? But when you do look at the people working in that industry, I'm so amazed at their calmness and their ability to deal and manage with all of that emotion.
Yeah, I think what happens, and I know this is what happens for me in my business as well with my people, you're so there for that person. You take yourself away. It's difficult to explain, but it really is. You're sort of all in, you know, and you're really not thinking about yourself. If you have done the work on yourself, that's why it's very important for people that are counselling or working with people that are dying and working with their families to really do their own work on themselves.
Now, let's make sure people have got all the information in here about the Pure Land Death Festival being held October 12th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. You do need to book for sessions.
Yes.
Where do they go to find out more information?
Okay, so you can go to our website. So it's called Pure Land, PureLand, Home Hospice. And if you go onto the events page, you will see all of the sessions and you can book into them through the webpage.
And we'll also have it on our website as well, so you'll be able to go and find out more information about it. India, what's your vision for the Pure Land Home Hospice?
I have a really big vision.
That's okay. You can share that vision.
I just want to benefit hundreds of people, thousands if we can. And one of the areas that I think is really important is people in residential settings that are very lonely. So they may not be imminently dying, but I would love to have lots and lots of companions that we can send to sit with people, because that's what I see when I go out. It's devastating, actually.
Because it's your last place.
Yeah.
That's where you go, literally, and the next step
exactly.
is.
Exactly.
It's death.
Yeah. So that's somewhere that I really want to work with. We're also looking at working with homeless people and minority groups as well. So, but that's down the track. First of all, we have to get set up. We did a pilot last year for 10 families that we have taken through, which was amazing. And we have gleaned some information from that. And obviously, we needed to sort of get on our feet. But we're about to go into phase two of that pilot in January, and we'll be taking on 20 families, which also covers bereavement. So we've got a lot of work to do and we're not quite there yet, but we're definitely getting there. We have an amazing board and great governance and, you know, we're very, very well set up, but it's very busy.
And into your, of course, you're creating the conversation. Even though you're only in pilot stage, it's getting other people to think about it. And you have really just described the bread and butter of community centres, because we have a very aged cohort, also multicultural, also we deal with homelessness. So really, this is an area where for our community centres out there, go on the website and have a look what resources there are. Be mindful that this is happening and start creating some conversations around death.
Yeah, it's very, very important. And I think, you know, if we can change the way people think about death and dying in Adelaide, then we will have done our job. Demystifying and taking some of the fear away from people, which is really the main goal.
Really valuable information. And I think the Pure Land Death Festival, if you can get along, make sure you do it. As you said, India, Centennial Park is a beautiful place just to go in that feeling of restfulness, peace.
Yeah, definitely. It's a beautiful park.
Thank you for coming on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me, Kerry.
And thank you for listening and engaging with our community conversations today. Every week, we aim to bring you stories from far and wide, across South Australia and beyond. People who are game changers in our community, doing great work, plus general topics of community interest. If you have any subjects you think we should cover or any other feedback, please let us know at communitycentressa.asn.au. And feel free to share this podcast so we can engage more people in our next community conversation.
Community Conversations. For more information, check out communitycentressa.asn.au.